This is Voice of Indonesia with Newsline. The governments of Indonesia and France have held a dialogue in Paris to strengthen bilateral cooperation across various sectors, especially in the creative economy and culture. Minister Tengku Rifki Harsha, as the creative economy minister, noted in a press release on Friday, this meeting reflects Indonesia's commitment to advancing the creative economy as a tool of cultural and economic diplomacy under President Prabowo Subianto's administration. Thailand's ambassador to Indonesia, Prapan Disyatat, emphasized the important role of culture in strengthening the relationship between the two countries. He delivered this message during the celebration of the 75th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Thailand, held in Jakarta on Thursday evening, July 17, 2025. According to him, the artistic performances from both nations serve as a clear symbol of the deep historical ties and rich cultural heritage they share. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia.
Ku berpijak pada jiwa yang tenang di hariku. Tak pernah ada duka yang terlintas. Ku bahagia. Ingin ku lukis semua hidup ini dengan cinta dan cita yang terindah. Masa muda yang tak pernah akan mendung. Ku bahagia. Dalam hidup ini ada ini semua cerita indahku. Satu saat remaja yang terindah tak bisa terulang. Ku ingin nikmati setiap jalan yang ada di hadapku. Dan tanamkan cinta untuk kasihku agar bahagia. Di atas bumi ini ku berpijak pada jiwa yang tenang di hariku. Tak pernah ada duka yang terlintas. Bahagia.
Listeners, today's Music Corner presents a song entitled Apa Artinya Aku. Indonesian maestro of love songs, Yovi Widianto, collaborates with three young Indonesian divas, Lyodra, Tiara Andini, and Ziva Magnolia, or LTZ, in a song titled Apa Artinya Aku, or Who Am I, released on December 13, 2024. The song created by Arsy Widianto, who is Yovi Widianto's son. The song tells the story of the bitterness of unrequited love, describing the feelings of someone who loves deeply but is only considered a second choice. In the song, Yovi Widianto returns with a beautiful musical arrangement with a sweet pop ballad nuance. The combination of piano notes, string section, and the distinctive vocal characters of the three singers, Lyodra, Tiara Andini, and Ziva Magnolia, creates a stunning harmony. Well, listener, this is Yovi Widianto and LTZ with the song Apa Artinya Aku. Happy listening.
Artinya diriku yang begitu berharap kau setia padaku. Saat kulihat kau dengannya, kau berpaling dariku. Apa artinya aku? Sungguh
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangsong. Besides wudung yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, geseng bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste geseng bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snack, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fridella. Thank you for listening.
Here is keyword of the day. Intelligence without love is dangerous, and love without intelligence is not enough. A quote by B.J. Habibie. Baharuddin Yusuf Habibie, or B.J. Habibie, was born in Parepare, South Sulawesi on June 25, 1936. B.J. Habibie is a politician, engineer, and scientist dubbed as the father of aircraft for successfully building the first aircraft in Indonesia in 1995. Habibie's ingenuity gave a great influence in the development of aviation technology domestically and abroad. Listener, that's quote of the day from Voice of Indonesia.
Untukmu, aku menyayangimu.
apa kau tak sayang aku? Kau tak pernah menyadari itu. Cinta ini ku beri hanya untukmu, tapi semudah itu kau tinggalkan semua melukai. Menyadari itu, cinta ini ku beri hanya untukmu, tapi semudah itu kau tinggalkan semua dan lukaiku. Kau tutup kisah cinta kita saat ku senang sayang sayangnya. Cinta kita saat ku sedang sayang sayangnya. Apa ada dia yang lain yang beri semua yang ku tak punya? Cinta kita.
Dalam selamanya.
Selalu ada di hati, bersemilah tanpa berhenti.
Dunia berubah, tak mampu mengubah rasaku.
Ubah cintaku padamu.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Once upon a time, the angels took bath here. In the legend of Tutumenden, 9 angels descended from the heaven to a pond. They took a bath in a pond belonging to Mama Nua, a young farmer. Mama Nua fell in love. One of the angels, Lumaludu, became his wife. From the fated 2 worlds, a child was born. But one day, Mama Nua make a mistake that forced Lumaludu to return to heaven. The angel said, should their child want to meet her, Mama Nua must bring the child across the forest, river, and mountain with the sun guiding their path. Lumaludu will be waiting at the end of the journey. Then Mama Nua and his child took the journey until the small family was reunited in the castle of the angels. The legend of Tutumenden ended happily ever after. And it was the story of the most beautiful place that the angels picked, Likupang. From Manado, this coastal city left a strong impression on first-timers. The people are slow living here. Nobody is in a rush. Everybody follows their own beat. And of course, the majestic landscape. Find the warm and embracing sunrise at Larata Hill, where the light reveals the beauty of Dorf Minahasa. Hidden behind the hills and lines of trees are the beautiful beaches of Likupang. The fresh air, the clear sky, the white sand, and the pristine water. No one can deny its temptation. Pulisan Beach is a must-see spot in Likupang. It welcomes both the calm with the trees and the adventurers with boats, taking them to some hidden gems around Pulisan. Then the darkening and yet golden sky is not the death of its beauty. The sunset in Likupang will show you its final glory once more before the night falls. That's the beauty of Likupang. Away from noises, anxiety, and deadlines. But believe me, it's always close to your heart. Come to Likupang. Come to your true home.
you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia broadcast on RRI Digital Application. On RRI Digital, you can also enjoy live broadcasts from all RRI stations in Indonesia, your favorite music playlist, inspiring podcasts, and the latest news videos. You can also interact through the like, comment, share, and live chat features. RRI Digital, one-stop entertainment and information. Download now on Google Play and the App Store.
RRI Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Dan jaya di lautan para milenium.
Those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium where the Indonesian people, the Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir.
Di Indonesia belum pernah saya lihat ombak 9 meter, so aku pengen lihat. Langsung selamat saya, Pak. Jadi oke, dia bilang.
Kalau istilah pinisi itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar dengan tahun 1830-an, 40-an.
Appeared around the 19th century in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or calf catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Finnish sail.
Ke-19, jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar penisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya pada tahun.
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, a question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. there was Palari Solompong, there was Palari Tongkol. The terms Finisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called Palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Finisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, pulau-pulau yang sebelumnya dinamakan Palari itu mulai dinamakan Finisi. Jadi, istilah Finisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Finisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
Ara itu. People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as Palari. So the use of the word Finisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of. When Finisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver, and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Finisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Finisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Finisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Finisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Finisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi, 85 dari tim.
At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Galangan, and then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied it yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still need more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said. The same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also four people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on two masts and 7 double-up sails called Finisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal pinisi di Banang ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu kan Pak, Sulawesi Selatan.
This Phoenician ship was built originally from Arab Bulukumba, Sulawesi, starting from the year before independence in 1945. After independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience, and it is recognized throughout the world.
Tanpa ada bilang teknik bagaimana. Dan di segi pengalaman saja, nah, dia kuelen by seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan finishnya 1 tahun lebih. Tapi kali ini kami bikin di pantai dia ke pantai Anjuran.
With the Pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half. Has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, ironwood, BT wood, and teak wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship purpose. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of teak wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang sisa untuk patah tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Minas, papangnya disusun, satu-satu.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed. The bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali apa? Tali seling. Tali tian. Nampak belakang. Baru pasang layarnya. Begitu.
The system and calculation for making Phoenician sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini.
That's the formula. So this is how we are ships experts, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu.
There is one thing that is essence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. They seem to have a formula called Takapalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Pinisi in the 70s, were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Arab people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Kata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahawa orang Arab pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai benda ciptaan manusia.
Building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 times more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not sail. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not sail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve f from x, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archipelago for 1,000 years, and the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Pinisi.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva itu tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10. Dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit. Sehingga bukan menjadi ini baru konsumsi khalaya kerana, wah, memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya, memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada khalayak ramai supaya itu tidak direduksi atas Pinisi doang.
Ia datang pun. Which economic sectors will grow in Indonesia this year? Here is the opinion of Gunawan Benjamin, an economist.
The economic sector that I think that will be helped, or maybe the development in that still growth in 2025 is agriculture, because this is the defense economic sector, and then food and beverage accommodation. This is because we know that the government have a program for Makan Bergizi Gratis, yeah, or MBG. Mm. I think this is one of the policy that will push the domestic consumption. And the rest, of course, commodity sectors such as palm oil, coal, or nickel. That's it.
The complete dialogue with Gunawan Benjamin is available in VOI Talk, Uncovering Indonesia's Investment Potential, on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listeners, today's Music Corner presents a song from the province of West Sumatra titled Mudiak Arau. The song Mudiak Arau was composed by Aji Sultan Sati. It tells the poignant story of a woman who faithfully waits for a man returning from his travels. No matter the circumstances or the changes he may have undergone during his time away, she remains steadfast in her love and anticipations. Well, listeners, here is Mudiak Arau, performed by Nurul Fadila Hamid. Enjoy!